You know, the Lord does touch each one of us every day. Every morning He touches us.
Yes.
He gives us strength and the ability to go out and do something for Him. And I just thank Him every day. I love Him more today than I have ever before in my life. But turn to Matthew chapter 20, chapter 7. Yeah, Matthew chapter 7. Tonight, just for a little while, and then I'm gonna let go, and so we can come to the altar and pray for the people, and pray for one another, and pray for friends and families, and pray for the upcoming Jubilee, and the preachers, and pray for the lost. We need to do what we can to win as many as we can to the lost, because time is almost running out. And if we're going to do anything for the Lord, we have to do it now. We've got to do it quickly. But here in chapter 7, and of the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and I'm going to talk about something. I don't know if I've even mentioned this or anything before, but you know, we have a whole lot of false prophets out here. We have a whole lot of teachers right here that don't know God's word and still up there preaching. And they preach what the devil wants them to preach. But I'm so thankful. And I'm so grateful that the Lord got a hold of me and He saved my soul before I ever got in church or anything like that. I'm not saying that you can't get saved in church, but for me, I think it was the reason that I ended up being faithful to God. I really do. Because I don't know if I'd have stayed. If I'd have went to church and got saved in church, I don't know if I'd have stayed in church and all that. But I do thank Him that not only was it, basically it was maybe one-on-one, but it was three people there, but in which y'all know the how I got saved and everything. But we do have so many out here that I believe that's in the church house today. They don't know anything at all about being saved. Now, I heard of, last week, matter of fact, last Thursday, I believe it was, that one of the preachers down there was telling me, he said, it was a 68 or 69 year old man that first, that was the first time he had been to a Baptist church. He'd been to a Methodist church, and he was raised up in a Methodist church, and that's where he was at all his life. But that night at the Baptist church, he heard something that he'd never heard before. And that was the gospel. And at the end of the service, the pastor, he had an altar call, and people come to the altar. They come praying for one another and everything. And this gentleman, he come up, 68, 69 years old, and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, that's the first time I've ever heard anything like that. And I've been in church all my life. And that's sad. It really is. It's sad that where people go to church today and they don't have an altar call. Many of your churches today don't have a don't even have an altar call. But I believe this, there's no need in the preacher or the evangelist gets up here and preach, teach, or whatever, or there's no need in even having the church not open if we ain't going to have an altar call where the people in the church can come and pray. Because I still say, and I know you don't have to come to the altar. You don't have to come to the altar to pray, to get in touch with God. But I believe that there's something special within that. That when we make a move towards something else, and we have the Lord in mind, I believe the Lord will also do His part. Because a whole lot of times, if we don't move, the Lord ain't gonna move. We just say, like the song says, I shall not be moved. I think it's one I like it. I shall not be moved. A whole lot of them say, well, Lord, you ain't gonna move me. I didn't come to church tonight and I'm tired. I know people get tired. I got tired too when I come to church and when I sit there. But after a little while, and you sense the presence there that hasn't been there before. You sense a presence there that you just can't explain. But you know it's something else there. And I thank the Lord for that, I really do. I thank the Lord for that little small still breeze that comes by and it's a breeze, but it's a cool breeze. I have never felt a breeze that come from God that had a warm breeze to it. It was always a cool breeze. And give me cold chills and everything. But here tonight, I just want to talk on that about the false prophets. And we do have right many of them out here. And we have to be mindful of it. But it says right here, and it says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, many good trees bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not fruit, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by thy fruit ye shall know them. Right here, we've just read where right here he's speaking about the fruit trees. And he is speaking to the Christian like he would the fruit, like he has the fruit trees. Now, if you plant an apple tree, and you know that apple tree has bad apples last year, and then all of a sudden this year, that apple tree starts budding, and then the fruit come on it. But the fruit is not bad, no apples. That tree is not bearing no apples, it's bearing pears this year. What has happened between last year and this year? Something has got down to the root of the tree. Something has got down to what the trunk is. And it's done some damage to the tree. That's the reason it's not bearing its same kind of fruit. Now we know that there are people out here that used to be in church. They used to be here that you could not even keep them away. They would always be here. Do you know some people like that? I do. I think we all do. But something over the time had got it down to the root of their life. It got down out to where it's got a hold of that core that's in the heart. And it's turned that heart into wickedness. And I'm not saying it's the type of wickedness where the heart's been turned to. It's turned to like a whole lot of the wickedness that's going on today. But I'm speaking of the wickedness of turning your back on God. So many people today turn their back on God. But then they come up and say, "You know, God, why'd you leave me? You know I'm saved. What happened, Lord? What happened?" He tell him, he says, "I'm right at the same place that you left me at. You need to come on back. You need to come on back to me and to help me and help the other children of God to fight this battle, because we cannot fight the battle alone. We cannot go up against the devil." I've heard some preachers say, and I've heard some people say, "Well, I go up against the devil any day I want to." I beg to differ with you, and with them too. If you go up against the devil, you're going to fall. That's where these false prophets come in. That's where the false prophet of the day that's in the churches, that's where they have come from. Why? Because they thought that they could go up against the devil. You can't go up against the devil. Because besides the Lord Jesus Christ, there's one other individual that knows this Bible just as well as I believe God does, and that's Satan. He knows this book inside and out. He knows what it means. But he will always flee from the individual. If they happen to come to church and the devil's been on the back all week and wanting them to turn and wanting to do this, and if we come with a sincere heart, I believe something is going to be sung that day. Our message is going to be brought, and it's going to be speaking of the blood. Hey, what Satan do? Satan, he went up against the Lord Jesus Christ when him and the Lord went up on the mountaintop. Probably the highest peak there is in the world. And he said, "Lord, look, just look around. Just look around. You call yourself Jesus. But just look around. All you have to do is say yes. All you have to do is just say yes to me. And all of this can be yours." That's what he does today. He will tell people as they go out during the week, or if they go out here working, or wherever they may go, and we may see something that kind of entices us, or maybe it might look good to us, but down deep it's not good for us in serving the Lord. It would be just like me if I left tonight to church, and if I left and went up out to Barcastle, and I pulled in up there and I saw Curtis Turner, one of the salesmen there. Naturally, first thing, he's going to come out and he's going to say to me, he said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing fine." Then he's going to say, "Are you here to buy a new car?" I can turn around and I say, "Yes. I've got 140 some thousand miles on this car. I need a new car." And if I do that, what is it going to do for me? It's not going to do a thing for me. The only thing it's going to do is when I pull up at church or when I go somewhere and I see somebody and they see me drive up, what are they going to say? "I see where you got a brand new car. The church must be doing real good. And they must be paying you a real good salary for you to come be driving a brand new car." What is that doing? It's building up my ego. It's building up something within me because of what they said. My ego don't need to be built up. If there's an ego that needs to be built up, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to call him, if you want to call it an ego. But I don't think it's an ego to the Lord, because why? Because he says in his word, "I'm no respecter of person." He's going to feel the same way towards me as he does you. He's going to save me just like he saved you. He's going to save the other individuals out here just like he saved us. Hey, he's not going to allow for me to teach you one thing, the way that for you to get saved, and then for me to go out there and tell somebody that I've just visited another way to get saved. But you know, I just wonder how many are being told that today. And they get in, and then they come to church, and then the preacher, he done had his message and not everything all together, and then he see that individual walk into church, the way he just told them how good they were, and don't think of anything at all to say. That you need to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now they say, "You need to just get in church. Just get in church. Just come to church. And when you come to church, you'll meet some other people there." They don't tell them, say, "Well, you can come and you can meet people of like faith if you get saved." We cannot meet people of like faith until we get saved. Now, I think a whole lot of people and a whole lot of Christians today takes that like faith and they will use it in a way to where they should not use it. I believe that what the Lord said and what the Bible says right here, that we must come together like faith. He's talking about the faith that we have in God. Not what faith that I have in man, because that's what we're doing. We're putting faith in man. Hey, I can go out here and I can sit down and I can worship with a Methodist. I can go out here and worship with a Presbyterian. I can go out here and worship any of them if they want to worship the Lord. But I cannot go and worship with them and then they come up and they tell me something else that's not in the Bible than what they believe in. I can't go worship with people like that. Oh yeah, I can go to them and I can invite them to church and things like that. But as far as sitting down and maybe eating or drinking coffee with them or something like that, and then they start getting into doctrine and different faiths, I can't sit down and talk to them. Because I'm going to tell you, only thing I can tell them is what I know. And the only thing I can tell them is what I know is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me and how he saved my soul. That's the only thing I can tell them. Because if you go into it and you start discussing it with them, what's going to come up is going to end up being an argument over God's word. Just like, I don't know if y'all remember, but several years ago, the preacher here in town went over to Reidsville. And he went over to Reidsville because the preacher over in Reidsville on that radio station over there, he was really cutting him down and calling him names, stuff like that, and even telling the people there. And he was saying on the radio station, for what he's preaching, he gonna die and bust hell wide open. His members are all going to hell. As long as they listen to him, they're going to hell. What happened? Something got a hold of him. Something got a hold of that preacher over in Reidsville. He corrupted his mind. My Bible teaches me over there, here in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, baptism is when you're immersed, when you go under. But this preacher says, you must be baptized. You must be baptized to go to heaven. I have yet found it in my Bible. It's not in there. I think I know where they get all of it from when they're talking about where the Bible speaks of church of Christ. They say, if you do not belong to a church of Christ, you're not a member of Church of Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. Because that's the only church that the Bible mentions. The Bible does not mention anything at all about denomination. What the Bible does mention about the Church of Christ, the Church of Christ is the individual believers. Yes, we are the true church. You are the true church. I am the true church. But we have so many people that will fall for stuff like that. They will fall for stuff like the big screen and have all this hoopla and everything and up here dancing and playing drums and all of that. I can't go along with that. I mean, if I want to invite somebody here to come and sing, I want them to come and sing something about my Lord that's lifting him up. Not only just lifting him up, But I want to be able to understand the words that they're saying. I mean, I've been to some song services. And even to this day, I still don't know what they sung. I mean, I just soon get up there and do it myself. I just soon to get up there and just really just try than to have somebody come. Just wants to sing, to lift up themselves. That's what majority of them do. That's what majority of them do. You know, here in the States, and even in North Carolina, even Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, there's some great singers out here. I mean, they harmonize together and they sing the old hymns. But now, if they sing the old hymns now, you give them a few more years, then they'll start backing away from the hymns. And they'll start singing all this other stuff. You cannot, there's no other song that I know of, it don't make a difference who writes them or whatever. They can never write a better song than the ones that we sing. Amazing Grace, Victory in Jesus. It's all about the blood. We know it's His amazing grace that we're here tonight. We know that. I know that. You know that. But how did we get here? We got here and we got into that amazing grace part because of what? Called because of the blood. Because of the blood. Because of His blood. And His blood alone. He was not thinking about himself. He wasn't thinking about God. He wasn't thinking about nobody but me and you. Because that's who He died for. That's who He died for. He died for me and you. If you was the last individual that was on the face of this earth, He'd have still died for you. That's Jesus. That's the lovely name of Jesus. If you don't believe it works, y'all try it sometime. Go to the mall or go somewhere where there's a crowd of people. And if that's all you hear is just a talking, and you can't hear nobody else speaking to you by right beside you, just holler at the name of Jesus. And when you do, a holy hush will come about you. Will come about the people. Because what will it do? It will draw their vision. It will draw their ears to look around. And see where the noise come from. See, they say it's a noise. To them it is a noise. But to us, it's not no noise. It's the sweetest name I know of. And, you know, you can go back and you can even look in the paper sometime. And you can see where in the Spanish people and down in Mexico, and the majority of them, and there's a whole lot of them, their first name is Jesus. Spelled the same way. Some of them will pronounce it in a different way but it's spelt the same way. You know, I believe people want to know Jesus. I believe there's people that really want to see him one day. But we didn't get, but the churches today has got so hung up on what we just read about a little while ago. There's different kinds of fruit. They said, what kind of fruit can I bear this week? Ain't what kind of fruit anybody can bear. That's telling somebody else about Jesus. That's where our fruit is going to shine. You can go into grocery stores, and which I don't particularly like the way to do it, but you know, you can go in the grocery store. You can go over where the fruit are, where the apples and pears and everything, all it is, they'll come by and just spray. After they put them out, they'll spray something on them. What do they spray on? To make them shine. Why do they spray it on it? To draw people to them, to that apple. You can have the same apple over here that has been treated or whatever that makes that apple shine. And you can have the same kind of apple. The only difference is where that one's been washed. This one right here has been cleansed. Which one is it going to draw people? The one that shines. Jesus Christ is the true light. He is the true light that I must follow. And if I don't follow that true light, then I'm following the devil. Some people say, well, no. No, if you're not out here and you know you need to go out here and visit, and if you don't go out here and visit today or whatever, the Lord's not going to do something to you. No, but to see the devil's done got a hold to your heart. See, the devil's done put something else in there that's more important than God. God and his Son and the Holy Spirit should be the most important thing to us. They should be the most important people in our lives. And we should remember that to where we won't go out here and we won't disappoint them. I know we're going to have a tendency to disappoint them. Why? Because I still have this, what this is called, flesh. I still have that on me. But one thing about it, he told me, and I think he told me when John said, if I come and confess my sins unto him, he is faithful and just to forgive me of all of my unrighteousness. He will forgive me, but I have to go to him and ask for it. He's just not going to forgive me because I'm one of his children. I've got to ask him to forgive me. As I ask him to forgive me, and he will, when I need something else from him, I need to go and ask him. Let's see if I can find it. Mm-hmm. Well, what is what what it is, I was trying to find so I could read the verse before and after it. But really, basically, what it comes down to is that, first of all, he mentioned in his word that if we want him to bless us, if we need something that's in our life, and it really is a need. Just because we say it's a need, and just because we've come to the altar and we've prayed for it, we need to go to him and we need to ask him specifically what that need is all about. And as we go ask him, then what are we supposed to do then? We're supposed to go and we're supposed to knock. We're supposed to let him in our heart. And we're supposed to knock on some doors. Because see, that's the only way the Lord's going to bless us, if we go and ask him first. But then he's going to ask us to go and knock. Because he wants to see how genuine we are. Oh, which he already knows. If we're genuine, or if we are a false prophet. He already knows all of that. First of all, must ask him first. And then we should do something else. We should go out there and knock on somebody's heart's door. Tell them about what the Lord has done for you and for me. And as we really tell them, and if we tell them in a way where they can see the expression on our face, and they can see the joy that's in our walk, then they gonna want to know more about him. And when he does, and when they say, "Well, which church do you go to?" And you tell them. And you invite them to church. Or they may ask you, says, "Well, this man that you've been talking about, hey, saved your soul. Hey, he's turned your life around. Do you think he'd save me?" Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. We've already done two of the things. Ask. And we've knocked. But I believe we forgot about the most important thing. When we do that, we ask, we knocked. We must seek. We must seek his face and say, "Lord, I love you so much today. Is there anything that I can do for you?" We always want something from the Lord, but have we ever asked him? Do I ever ask him, say, "Lord, do you need anything from me today? Do you want me to do anything for you today? I thank you for all the things you've done for me. Now I want to ask you, do you need anything?" Because I know you there in heaven, on the right hand of God the Father, you and the Father both is shedding tears. It's shedding tears for this world. Because people back in your day, Lord Jesus, where your own people rejected you. What it says in John chapter 1, where his own people rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Same thing today. People are rejecting him. Why? Because they've been fed a bunch of lies from the devil. They've been fed a bunch of lies from the devil. And it's sad. It really is. When they know, and we know, that all they have to do is just surrender their life unto the Lord. But you know what? You know what reason they don't surrender? Because they think that they got to give up something. They think that they got to give up something to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They think that they got to quit drinking, or they got to quit smoking, or they got to quit running around, or something like that. They'll never be able to quit smoking. They'll never be able to quit drinking. They'll never be able to quit running around. They will never be able to do anything like that at all. But with the Lord's help, he can help them. He will give them a new desire in the heart to serve him. Hey, I mean, after I got saved, that was my desire to serve him. I didn't go back to what I was doing before. I didn't go back going and calling somebody and calling my buddy up and say, well, what time are we going to leave this Sunday going to Bugs Island? Me and him, we loved fishing. Her brother-in-law, we went fishing all the time. But majority of the time, it was on a Sunday. And he had a bass boat, and then I had to get me one, and I got me a bass boat, and I got all the gear, and I had four or five reels and rods and everything, and I had a tackle box full of tackles and everything, and I had a fish finder, and I had a trolling motor. I had all of that. But the day that I got saved, which was on a Monday night, I did not go back to the lake at all on Sunday. Yes, I went back to the lake. It was on a Saturday. But you know something? It wasn't but two or three Saturdays that I went like that. And I said to myself, this is foolish. I know the Bible speaks of we must be fishers of men. And we must be fishers of men and ladies. And I said, I'm not no fisher of man. Because here it is. I've been out here all day long. And we leave at 4 o'clock in the morning. We get down to Bugs Island probably by 5:30. And we stay all day until dark. And then we leave and come back. Went down and spent all day long. And didn't even bring back one little small minnow. Didn't bring nothing back. And then finally I says, this is not what God's talking about. Talking about fishers of men. Talking about soul winning. I never did go back to fishing. I sold my boat. I sold everything it had to do with fishing. I sold all my rod and reels and everything, except for one. And that's, as far as I know, it's still downstairs, hanging up next to the roof, up to the ceiling there. I put it down, I ain't never took it down. I don't have no desire to do that anymore. Why? Because God gave me something else better to do. Something else better to do. And then after I went and I had the opportunity to win that first soul to the Lord. Nobody else was with me. I was by myself. And I was just as nervous as I could be. I couldn't even hardly speak. But the Lord says, go ahead, son, you go on do it. But all I had to do was just turn back around and go back to the bed where he was laying it. Yeah. Then when I got there, I opened my mouth and I don't remember nothing else. The Lord put everything together, what I had to be said. And that gentleman gave his heart and his life to Jesus. Man, I left that hospital that day walking down that hall and I was bubbling. And I said, praise the Lord. Like it. There's nothing no wonderful than to be able to take the Word of God and lead somebody to the Lord. That right there changed my life forever. I want this shy and bashful young man at 30 years old or 29 years old. I won't that type anymore. Because I just, every time I went, while I was driving and where we was driving and going to somewhere on visitation, I'd always pray and I said, Lord, you're going to have to do it. I can't do it. This individual we're going to visit, Lord, he's lost. She's lost. They need to be saved. You give me the very words to say. He's done it every time. Every time. Every time he done it. And I thank the Lord. What he's done for me and what he's done for my body. And I thank him for just being so good to me. Just like I've said plenty of times before. He could come to me right now tonight. And said, Don, he said, you know, I know you are my child. I know that. You've been faithful in doing what you can. I know you've made some mistakes along the way. But it says, Donnie, right now, I got a whole lot more I need to do. A whole lot more I need to do. So, Donnie, if I don't spend that much time with you now, it's not because I don't love you. You know what I'd have to say? I would have to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to still do for me. You go and you do what you have to. I know it's a bunch of churches out here. It's a bunch of preachers out here. They need for you to really get a hold of their heart. He's been so good to me. He has. And you know, you that are here tonight, and y'all, each one of y'all, it reminds me of that, where y'all have been so good to me and my wife.
You have. And I know that I ain't seen what we've done all that much for you. Hey. Oh, you have. You took me and my wife in when nobody else wanted us. You took us in. And you wanted us to come in and be y'all, part of y'all's family. And as I come in, you became a part of my family. And I thank you for that. I know Shelby does. I don't know what we'd do. We want for y'all's faithfulness. Because y'all, you, the individuals here tonight, and some of the others that's not here, you have taught me more about faith than I've ever read about. Why? I've seen where y'all have stuck it out. And that's what Jesus wants. Jesus wants somebody that is like super glue, that he can grab a hold to them and they stuck solid. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for just being there. And Father, tonight, I'm not coming and I don't want nothing from you tonight. I don't need nothing from you. Lord Jesus, I know that you're going to be there, and I know that, but I don't need you. I don't need nothing tonight. I don't need no blessing from you tonight. Father, I just want you to be able to touch people's hearts that's here and the ones that's not here tonight and the ones that Father's just drifting. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray. Father, if there's anything that I ever want done, and I'm asking you tonight to do it, save that soul, Father, this nearest eternity. And Father, for that one that's backslidden, cold and indifferent, oh Father, we pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God will draw them back to you. Because, Lord Jesus, we know that you just did not let go of them. They let go of you. And you are right where they let go of you. And Father, we pray for this church. We lift up Faith Baptist Church, God. Father, if there ever was an answer of prayer that I would love to be answered, it's Father, that where you would touch people's hearts, where they would just want to come in and hear something. But Father, I'm not asking you for me. I'm asking it for them, that you may do it. Father, we want to thank you and we want to love you because of everything that you've done for us. You don't have to do anything more to me. And I love you tonight with all my heart, with all my soul. And I know that you're going to be there. So, Father, we ask, Lord, that you just help us that we may bear the right kind of fruit until the day that you come after the church. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.